Dramas of the Court. We present the dramatic story of our courts, where daily the unbiased administration of justice is dealt to rich and poor alike. These dramatizations in fictionized form are typical of the human interest dramas that daily crowd our courts. Tonight, the crew of the Ballpoint Pen.
Gentlemen of the jury, the administration of good government is based upon a sound judicial system. In considering the case before you, weigh carefully all the evidence and be convinced beyond all reasonable doubt of the guilt or innocence of the accused before delivering your verdict.
Brown versus Rodney Archer and Jane Williams.
If it hadn't been for the chief's intuition, as he calls it, I would never have been on the case in the first place. The chances are, though I say it myself, the truth would never have come to light. It just goes to show how unlucky some people can be. The whole thing began, as far as I was concerned, one morning when the chief called me into his office.
Hartwell, I want you to take a run down to Hazelwood.
What's happened, Chief?
Yeah, there's been a car smash. A fellow named Leonard Williams crashed his bus through a safety fence down a 200-foot embankment onto the main south road between Hazelwood and Fenchurch.
Rather careless of him, wasn't it? When did he do this?
Sometime last night, apparently. But the wreckage wasn't discovered until early this morning.
Was he alone in the car?
No. His was the only body they found.
Oh, any suggestion of foul play?
Not really. At least the local police seem quite sure it was an accident.
Well, then why not leave it to them?
Normally I would. But somehow I've a suspicion there's more in this than meets the eye.
Another of those hunches of yours, eh?
Well, call it that if you like. It seems a letter was found in the dead man's pocket.
Oh, well, what kind of a letter? Suicide note?
No, nothing like that. It was written to him by his wife. It said that... Oh, well, never mind. Never mind about that now. You'll see it for yourself when you get there.
Well, do I have to go, Chief? If you only knew how I hate traipsing all over the country...
Oh, nonsense. It'll be as good as a holiday. I shall expect a report tomorrow.
Well, don't be surprised if it consists of one word. Washout. I wasn't optimistic as I drove down to Hazelwood, and I had no cause to feel any different when I got what they knew of the story from the local sergeant of police.
I don't think there's any question it was an accident, sir. The tire marks tell the whole story. Mr. Williams was heading towards a bend at what I'd say was a pretty high speed. Just as he was about to make the turn, his nearside wheels skidded in a patch of gravel. The car hit the safety fence broadside on and crashed through it and down. Mr. Williams was rather badly smashed up when we found him.
Tell me about this man, Williams. He lived here in Hazelwood?
Yes, he'd been here in Hazelwood.
Well, what did he do?
He's an author. I mean to say, was. I keep forgetting he's no longer with us.
Married?
Yes.
Does his wife know?
Not unless she's read it in the papers.
Oh, you mean to say you haven't told her yet?
No, sir.
Why not?
Maybe this letter will explain, sir. We found it in Mr. Williams' pocket.
Oh, yes. A letter. Len, by the time you read this, Rodney and I will be in Fenchurch. It wouldn't do any good to try to follow us. I'm sorry the break had to come like this, but it's been imminent for a long while. Rod was all for waiting until you came home and then telling you, but I couldn't stand the thought of another row. So I'd persuaded him to take me away tonight. You can be sure we won't defend any divorce action. Jane. So that's the story, eh? Yeah. This letter isn't dated. When was it written?
Last night, sir. It seems Mr. Williams had gone up to London for a writer's convention or something like that. From what I can gather, he came home a day earlier than expected. Mrs. William and Mr. Archer must...
Who is Mr. Archer?
The gentleman referred to in the letter as Rodney, sir.
Yes, I assumed that, but who is he?
He's an artist, sir. A painter.
He lives here in Hazelwood, too?
Yes, sir. He and Mrs. Williams have been friends for several years.
Is he married, too?
Oh, no, sir, no, sir. He lives in a cottage just out of town with an elderly housekeeper, a Mrs. Muffet.
Ah, I see. Well, go on, you were about to say...
It appears, sir, that Mrs. Williams and Mr. Archer must have just left a few minutes before Mr. Williams got home.
Well, how would they have gone to Fenchurch? By train?
No, sir, in Mr. Archer's car. Anyhow, he found the note, realized they couldn't be far ahead of him, and set out in his own car to catch them up.
And presumably dissuade Mrs. Williams from running away.
Yes, sir. That would explain why he was traveling at such a high speed and was perhaps less careful than usual.
Yes, of course. And he never did catch them.
No, sir.
Presumably then Mrs. Williams and Archer are in Fenchurch now.
Yes, sir. We've notified the police there. I should think they're bound to turn up very soon.
We'll have them brought straight here when they do get back. I'd like to talk to them both.
Very good, sir.
Now, Sergeant, this belief of yours that Williams was chasing after his runaway wife, is this just a theory or are there any facts to support it?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt about it at all, sir. I had a look through the Williams home this morning. There's quite clear evidence that Mrs. Williams had packed a few clothes in a hurry.
Yes, and of course we know that Williams must have gone home or he wouldn't have found the note.
Quite, sir, quite. And in addition to that, his overnight bag is in the front hall by the doorway, and his attaché case is on the writing desk in the sitting room. And then, of course, sir, there's the evidence of the level crossing keeper.
Oh, well, what's that?
Well, sir, just before the main south road goes into the hills, there's a railway level crossing. After midnight, the gates are kept closed, and motorists who want to go through have to blow their horns. And the crossing keeper then comes out and opens them.
And he actually saw Williams?
He saw both of them, sir. He's outside, sir, if you'd like to talk to him.
Good, call him in.
Very good.
Sir, will you come in here, please, Mr. Endicott?
How much longer do I have to stay here, Sergeant?
Only a few minutes. This is the man, sir, Walter Endicott. This is Detective Sergeant Harkwell from London.
How do you do, Mr. Endicott?
Glad to know you, sir.
Sergeant Keane's been telling me that you saw both Mrs. and Mr. Williams last night. Is that so?
Aye, leastways, I presume it was her, and I'm sure it was him.
Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, just as I was about to close the gates at midnight, Mr. Archer's car drove through. I recognized it was his, because many's the time I've had to get out of bed in the early hours to let him through. Last night they went through at such a rate I didn't properly see what was what. All I could be sure of was that there were two people in the car.
A man and a woman.
Well, I couldn't even be positive as to that, sir. It was Mr. Archer driving.
Oh, you actually did recognize him?
Not by his features, sir, but by his hat. It's a sort of big floppy one, and he always wears it at a jaunty angle.
Oh, I see. And then?
Well, about 5 minutes later, a car pulled up and tooted. I went out, and so was Mr. Williams's car. I opened the gates, and as he was driving through, he called out, "Have you seen Mr. Archie's car?" So I shouted back that he'd gone through a little while earlier.
Did he answer you?
No, he just waved his arm and shot forward like he was a Brooklyn's or somewhere.
Did you catch sight of his face at all as he went past you?
Not very well, sir. Just enough to recognize him, as you might say.
Well, you're quite sure it was Mr. Williams.
Oh, quite sure, sir. He's the only gentleman hereabouts with a black beard.
Williams was... what you might describe as a very individual type, sir.
Apparently.
Will you be wanting me for anything else?
No, thanks.
Well, I'll be getting along then. Good day, sir.
I'll get a statement from you later for the inquest, Mr. Endicott.
Well, so much for that.
It all seems perfectly straightforward, don't you think, sir?
Perfectly. Why the chief insisted on sending me down, I haven't the faintest idea. However, now I'm here, I might as well see the thing through. You say this man Archer has a housekeeper?
Yes, sir.
Well, perhaps I'd better have a talk with her.
Right you are, sir. I'll take you to the cottage.
tell me, Mrs. Moffat, were you aware that Mr. Archer and Mrs. Williams were having an affair?
I wouldn't know, I'm sure. I does me work and minds me own business.
Oh, now, that's no sort of an answer.
You must tell what you know, Mrs. Moffat. It's your duty.
Mr. Archer's always been good to me, and I shan't be the one to get him into any trouble.
Oh, my dear woman, no one's trying to get him into any trouble. We simply want to know the facts.
Well, they did seem fond of each other. But mind you, I never seen nothing wrong, never at any time.
Did Mrs. Williams ever visit here when her husband was away?
Well, suppose she did. Was there anything wrong in that?
I'm asking you. Did she?
Perhaps she did, a few times. But they always behaved in the most proper manner, I'll have you know.
Yes, of course, I'm sure they did. Now, when Mr. Archer left last night, did he pack any clothes and take them with him?
I wasn't there when he left, but I ain't noticed anything missing. I looked specially this morning. How he's going to get on in London with just the clothes he stands up in.
Well, what makes you think he's gone there?
He told me yesterday he'd be going up today for a couple of weeks to paint a picture.
Oh, what sort of a picture?
A portrait. The Countess of something or other. Real excited about it he was when he got the letter a few days ago. Muffy, he said, this is me big chance. If I can get away with this, there'll be no stopping me. And then, just when he should be making a good impression, off he goes in his old sports things. Oh, maybe that's him now.
I'll answer it. Hello? Yes, this is Keane speaking. They did. They are. Good. Good. All right, we'll be back at the station in plenty of time. Well, they turned up, sir.
Mrs. Williams and Archer, you mean?
Yes. They saw the paragraph in the paper and reported at once to the Fenchurch police. They're on their way back to Hazelwood now.
Good. I shall look forward to seeing them.
We will return in a few minutes to continue The Clue of the Ballpoint Pen. But first, a word from our announcer. We continue The Clue of the Ballpoint Pen.
I was definitely interested in the case now. There were one or two pertinent questions I wanted to ask Rodney Archer. He and Jane Williams weren't due back in Hazelwood for another hour or so, however. So, in the meantime, I decided I'd like to have a look at the Williams house. It was just as Sergeant Keane had described it. Doors and wardrobe drawers in Mrs. Williams' room were still open, and one or two small articles of clothing were still lying on the floor. Obviously, someone had packed in a hurry. Williams' overnight bag was in the front hall, still packed, and his attaché case lay on a writing bureau in the sitting room. I was interested to note that the papers it contained were jammed in untidily, and one or two small articles, such as a couple of pencils, a new typewriter ribbon, and a fountain pen, had spilled on to the bureau. Well, apart from that, there seemed nothing out of place in the house. The runaways arrived at last. Keane introduced us and then said,
Detective Sergeant Hartwell has been sent down from London to take charge of the investigation, so I'll let him ask the questions.
Well, Detective Sergeant, if there's anything we can tell you at all, of course you understand it's been a very great shock to Mrs. Williams. To both of us, in fact.
Yes, I imagine it has been. However, there are one or two points. Now, I understand you didn't expect your husband home until this morning, Mrs. Williams.
That's right. He said the conference probably wouldn't end until late last night, that he'd stay overnight and come down in the morning.
Why did he change his mind?
I don't know. Perhaps the conference ended sooner than he'd thought.
And so when you wrote this note to him, you didn't expect he'd read it till today, by which time you and Mr. Archer would be in Fenchurch.
Yes, that's so.
Now, the evidence we have suggests that Mr. Williams returned home sometime before midnight, read the note, and at once set off in pursuit of you.
You've summed it up very well. That seems to be the only logical conclusion.
Yes, well, actually, he must have missed you only by a few minutes. Did you have any idea he was close behind you?
No. Why should we?
Well, there was such a little gap between your leaving the house and his reaching it that I thought you might have seen his car arriving as you drove off.
No, we didn't see anything like that.
No, the first thing we knew about it all was when we read a paragraph in the noon edition of the Fenchurch paper telling about the accident.
Yes, that's so, Jane. And, of course, as soon as we read it, we went straight to the police.
Of course. Tell me, was this elopement of yours planned, or did it just happen?
Well,
Jane, would you let me answer that? Mrs. Williams and I have... Well, we've known we loved each other for some months. I've no wish to say anything against Leonard, but... Well, he wasn't a particular success as a husband. And we knew that sooner or later we'd... Well, have to make a break for it.
Go on, please.
I came round here to the house last night and told Mrs. Williams that I was determined to force a showdown. When Leonard came home this morning, she begged me not to, as she'd had more unpleasant scenes than she could stand. And when she saw that I'd made up my mind, well, instead she persuaded me to take her away at once.
It was cowardly of me, I know, but...
And it was also cowardly of me. I should have stayed behind and faced the music, but... Well, there it is.
So you packed a few things, Mrs. Williams, and wrote this note to your husband, and then you went off together.
Yes.
Oh. So that's all you can tell me?
Yes.
So that's why you went off, Mr. Archer, without taking any clothes or other belongings of your own?
Yes.
Well, it would have been a simple matter, wouldn't it, to have stopped at your cottage on the way and packed a few things?
Well, we were in a hurry to get away.
Yes, but as far as you knew, there was no great urgency. As far as you knew, Mr. Williams was still in London, wasn't he?
Yes, of course, but... Well, once we'd taken the plunge, our one desire was to get away from Hazelwood as quickly as possible. It wasn't that we feared pursuit, it was... Well, I suppose a sense of guilt.
As a matter of fact, I did suggest to Rodney he might need some things, but he said it didn't matter.
Oh, I see. Tell me, Mr. Archer, you're a painter, aren't you?
That's right.
A successful one?
Well, I wouldn't say that. I've been trying hard for a long while to make a name for myself, but it's not easy, you know.
No, I suppose not. Ability is one thing and recognition's another.
Yes, that's about it.
And so when you got this commission recently from the Countess of... Oh, what's the name again?
The Countess of Nore. You've heard about that too, have you?
Yes, your housekeeper mentioned it.
Oh, I see.
So that when you got this commission, Mr. Archer, this very important commission, you must have felt that you were really getting somewhere at last.
I don't know about that.
But you said at the time, this is my big chance. If I can get away with this, there'll be no stopping me. Now, didn't you?
Well, I probably did say something like that.
You were to go up to London to begin the portrait today, I understand.
Today, yes. That was the arrangement.
Well, did it occur to you last night when you were insisting on a showdown with Mr. Williams that if you weren't able to keep your appointment with the Countess, you'd probably lose the commission and forfeit your big chance of success?
No.
Not at all.
Well, perhaps it did pass through my mind, but I didn't give it a second thought.
Well, why not?
Well, because Jane's welfare and happiness are much more important to me than anything else.
Yes, but surely there was no such urgency about it that you felt called upon to sacrifice such a vital step in your career. I mean to say, the situation wasn't new. It existed for at least some months. Now, couldn't you have continued your relationships as they were for just another couple of weeks until you'd finished the Countess's portrait?
No, I couldn't. I had to get Jane away at once.
Well, why?
Well, I just had to, that's all. The situation had become intolerable.
And you mean to say you jeopardized your whole career?
What are you trying to make out of this?
I'm not trying to make anything, Mr. Archer. I'm merely attempting to get at the truth.
But we've told you the truth.
I don't think so, Mrs. Williams.
What do you mean?
Shall I tell you what I think happened? I don't think either of you had any intention of going away last night or today. I think you were together in this house, but Mrs. Williams' husband came home unexpectedly and found you here.
Pure supposition. A lot of nonsense.
Well, I think there was an angry scene. Then a fight. I think you hit Williams and he fell. He probably struck his head on something. And when you tried to bring him to, you discovered he was dead. You thought for a while of going to the police. And then you became afraid you might be accused of murder. So then you worked out a plan.
That's not true.
You, Mrs. Williams, packed a few clothes to make it seem your departure was premeditated. And then you wrote this note and put it in your husband's pocket.
No.
Then, Archer, you carried Williams out and put him in the front seat of your car. Mrs. Williams tucked her hair up, put on your coat and hat, drove off pretending she was you. You rigged up a false beard of some kind, probably with boot blacking, even eyebrow pencil. It didn't have to be very good. Put on the dead man's coat and hat and followed on in his car. At the level crossing, you made a stab at imitating his voice. Again, it didn't have to be good, because the crossing keeper only heard it over the sound of your racing engine.
Well, Detective Sergeant... You seem to know all about it. What do we do next?
On a quiet stretch of road in the hills, Mrs. Williams waited till you caught her up. Then you put Williams back into his own car, with his hat and coat, started it up, steered it from the running board, and drove it straight for the safety fence. It obligingly went into a skid, and just before it crashed broadside into the fence, you jumped clear. Then you cleaned off your disguise, resumed your own hat and coat, and you and Mrs. Williams drove on to Fenchurch.
Very, very ingenious. As a matter of fact, there's only one thing wrong with it.
And what's that?
It's not true, not a word of it.
No, of course it's not. I've never heard anything so ridiculous.
Suppose we let a jury decide as to its truth.
You mean you're going to arrest us?
Of course he's not, Jane. He's only bluffing.
You think so?
You can't prove a thing and you know it.
Well, now, that's where you're wrong. I've all the proof I want. You see this pen, Mrs. Williams? One of the new ballpoints. Do you recognize it?
It looks like my husband's.
It is your husband's. It's the pen he took to London with him. The pen with which he made notes of speeches at the conference. The pen, Mrs. Williams, with which you wrote this letter. It really was very careless of you, you know. Because if you used your husband's pen, he must have been here, mustn't he?
That's absurd. If she'd used that pen, her fingerprints would have been on it, wouldn't they?
How do you know they weren't?
Well, they couldn't have been.
Because she wore gloves, you mean?
No, because she didn't use that pen at all. Oh, she used mine. I've got a ballpoint, too. Look, here it is. If you don't believe me, look. Right, exactly the same way. Same color ink, everything. Yes. Now, I distinctly remember lending it to her. So much for your proof.
The same colored ink, perhaps, but not the same ink.
What do you mean?
While I was waiting here for you, I took the trouble of having the ink in the pen and on this note laboratory tested. There's no question whatever that the letter was written by this pen and no other.
I don't believe you.
It's no good, Rod. We might as well tell the truth.
Go ahead, I'm listening.
You were right. Len did come home unexpectedly. But it wasn't just a fight. You see, he had a pistol and he tried to get it out of his pocket and Rod hit him in self-defense. He didn't mean to kill him, I swear it.
All right, Mrs. Williams. I give you the customary warning. Anything you may say will be taken down in evidence against you. And you'd better wait until you've had a word with your solicitor.
Detective Sergeant, what exactly will we be charged with?
Yourself with manslaughter, Archer. Mrs. Williams with being an accessory after the fact. Take them along, Sergeant.
Work, I must say, sir. All the same, there's one part of it I still don't understand.
Well, what's that, Sergeant?
The bit about the ink in the pen and on the letter. I was with you all day, and I don't remember you making any tests.
I didn't.
You mean...
And Mrs. Williams was on the verge of cracking. I could see that. It just needed that one little extra touch to make a talk.
So it was all a bluff, eh?
Precisely. A little unethical, perhaps, but highly effective, don't you think?
Rodney Archer and Jane Williams were tried and found guilty of the crimes with which they stood charged. In view of the extenuating circumstances, and particularly of the fact that Williams was the aggressor, Archer received a sentence of only 3 years, and Jane Williams was convicted but released on bond. I will return in just a moment with further news of these real-life dramas of the courts.
The court is adjourned until next week.
Be listening next week, same time, same station, when we present another real-life story in Dramas of the Court. This is a Grace Gibson radio production produced by Reg Johnston.